This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. This is Alan Ellis, and with me is my beautiful wife and sidekick. What's your name again?
I don't remember. It's too early.
Yeah, that it is. It's early, that's for sure. This is Robin Ellis. Now, if you were going turkey hunting, you'd be up and out the door already. What are you looking at me like that for?
Because I'm not a turkey.
Chris, what are we going to do? I don't know. So your landowner got a turkey the other day, Chris. Did you know that?
I saw the beautiful bird.
Yeah, pretty bird. Yeah, no question about it.
And so, big.
Yes, large. A lot of large turkeys. Our friends, father and son, Bobby and Newton, teamed up. Newton killed one last Saturday in the pouring rain, and Bobby got one last Sunday in Cecil County. And Mason's was a gobbler with a 10-inch beard, and Dad took a nice Jake, good-sized Jake, for his first one. But both first birds, and both of them are extremely happy. We'll have the story in the upcoming Maryland Hunting Quarterly. Somebody suggested that to me the other day. They said, you know, if you've got cabin fever, you want to be in the great outdoors, go online, read the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. You know, that's distributed. Print versions are distributed, across the state. But if you want to read a copy, just go online at MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com, and you can read all the good stuff in there. We've got some fishing stuff in the spring issue. We've got some hunting stuff, some archery stuff. Excuse me, some good stories. So, you know, you can do that. That's for sure. And you can go on and Maryland Loves Crabs, which is MD Loves Crabs. And check that out for last year. If you haven't seen that, it's MD Loves Crabs. If you're a crab lover, and that magazine, hopefully, the summer issue of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly and Maryland Loves Crabs will be out when we're released from this, whatever this is we're in.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. That's all you can say?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. What?
I was trying to give a good word of what we're in, but it...
What?
I can't qualify it. No, you can't. No matter if you put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig.
That's right. But
this is
a good pig, okay? It's just there's no way to say that nobody's tired of it now, you know? Everybody's frustrated. Everybody's tired.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Well, let's come up. All right, everybody, here we go. Let's come up with another way to say, put lipstick on a pig. Let's use wildlife and figure out how to say the same thing. The same, Robin, this here coughing. You got the Rona?
No.
No, okay, good.
I got the early morning stuff.
Early morning stuff in the throat, yeah. So, Chris, you just said, you know, even if you put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig, right?
That's correct.
Okay, that's a common phrase.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take something from nature, a fish or an animal or something like that, and try and dress it up and say the same thing, only using something in our world. What do you think?
Put it on a boar and it's in drag.
Right.
Okay.
It goes right to the...
Okay.
You're very amused with yourself, aren't you there, Chris?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm also a little tired.
So I'm a little
punch drunk.
A little punchy. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. This is the Outdoors and Radio Show. I got an email from somebody yesterday, and I had to send them the link to the stay-at-home order. Can I put my boat in my marina, and can I go out on my boat fishing? Well, you're allowed to fish, not allowed to use your boat. No motorboats are allowed. Not allowed to catch and release fish. I saw somebody call me yesterday and said, hey, did you see this guy catch and release rockfish on the Upper Bay? I said, no. He said, it looks like a pretty current post, like this week. I said, really? Yeah. So no catch and release. No, you know, no bass fishing, no bass fishing tournaments, no hickory shad fishing. You can fish for sustenance if you're going to feed you and your family. So you can go out and fish from the bank for catfish or white perch or yellow perch or snakeheads. But don't forget, if you're in a popular snakehead spot like these guys down at the Blackwater that line the streets and, you know, fish for snakeheads, you have to stay 6 feet apart. And you're being discouraged, by the way. I'm also hearing that NRP is discouraging people from getting together and play in popular fishing spots. I don't know. Maybe so.
Hey,
410. We got a caller?
We got a caller.
Who's our caller?
Walter.
Walter. Good morning, Walter.
Good morning, sir.
How you doing?
Well, we're doing fair to fine. I'm glad to be out in the woods, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Are you turkey hunting?
Well, it's my first time, so we'll see how it goes.
Good. Are you going with an experienced caller, somebody who's going to help you out?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was the main thing I was going to tell you about. We're down here near Centerville, and they opened up the properties.
Yeah.
There's no parking zones left. I mean, people are just cramming into the woods. So.
Wonderful.
If you're not wearing orange, you'd probably be a target.
Mm.
That's amazing. I didn't think it would be that bad right off the top, but it's just.
Are you talking about public land?
Yes, public
land.
The moment they opened it up, I guess everybody wants to get out, and that's natural.
Well, sure. Oh man, you're gonna hear a lot of bad turkey callers out there.
I can see that.
You're gonna hear a lot of bad turkey callers out there. Your partner's probably sitting there going, "What?" Popping his head up and down. Yep, that's right. You're gonna hear a lot of bad turkey callers out there.
Well, we'll see how it works out, but I'm sure it's gonna sound like London during the Blitz for a while.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, if you park in the parking area, oh, man, I don't know. I'd be very careful. And you're right about wearing orange. Good grief. Unfortunately, you can't wear orange when you're turkey hunting, or you shouldn't. You can, but the turkeys are going to see it. You know, that's the difference between turkeys and deer. Deer are color blocked.
Coming in back and forth to your lines or something would be better than nothing, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. So, well, this is your first time ever turkey hunting, right?
Yeah, I've been out a few times for other things, but this is my first turkey hunt.
All right. Well, that's good. I don't know who your partner and caller is, but good luck to them, and hopefully you'll be able to, you know, you'll be able to score. Let me know if you do. Just send me an email, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, and we're getting emails almost every day, pictures of people with their turkeys and a lot of kids with their turkeys, which is nice.
Oh,
nice
cool.
To see. So, yep. So.
All right,
I appreciate the call. Good luck out there.
I never owned a sow salon, so I couldn't tell you about your pig thing.
Oh, well.
A sow salon. I like that.
A sow salon. A sow salon. Yes. I got it. All right, buddy. What? All right. Well, you have a good day out there, all right?
You too, sir.
All right. Thanks. Be safe. Bye. Bye-bye. 410 WCBM 6. That was nice. Walter's going on his first turkey hunt.
Uh-huh. You went on a turkey hunt.
I did?
Yeah, you did.
Tell us about it, Alan.
I went out Wednesday, and it was windy, but nice day. I mean, it was cold and windy, but it was a nice day. And, typically I'll start now, look, I never called a turkey. Well, I have called a turkey in on my own. okay? But I've never taken one solo. I've always been with somebody like Walter there, with, you know, somebody who's a good, better caller than myself. So, and still never. I mean, I've hunted with the best turkey hunters in Maryland and still never taken a turkey. So turkeys amuse me because...
Oh, you got one turkey.
Well, I got one with Bobby last year. I did get one turkey with Bobby Dutro last year. I got one, yes, finally. But I was with someone. I said I never called one in on my own.
No.
But I did call one in on my own, but somebody else shot it. So, typically, you know, you listen for the gobbler. You listen for the birds to start. And if you don't hear anything in particular, you stroke your turkey call a few times and try and do a soft call, you know, to inspire a gobbler. So I stopped at one spot where turkeys had been seen previously, and I used a slate call, and I stroked the slate call and did a little soft tree call, tree yelp, whatever you want to call it. Nothing. And I stayed there for 10-15 minutes and still nothing. So I thought, well, it's windy, maybe they're not hearing it. So I ramped the call volume up a little bit, still nothing. So I thought, okay, well, maybe they're on the other side of the woods. So I went on the other side of the woods, and same thing. Still dark. I mean, it's still in twilight time, you know, that half hour before sunrise. Nothing. Went up near the pines where I thought they might roost. Nothing. So I worked, I don't know, hour all morning. Never heard a bird, never saw a bird. So I came home. Thursday morning. Landowner sends me a picture of a turkey walking across her lawn about 50 yards from where I was last set up. Well, maybe a little further. So that was fun. So that day I delivered some groceries to the landowner, drove out her driveway, turned onto the main highway, and a turkey flew out of their woods across the road and landed on the other side of the woods in front of me.
I think the turkeys are teasing him, Chris.
You're tempting me. You're teasing me here. It was a hen, but it was nice to see.
Definitely.
Yeah. So later in the day, we get a call that they had gotten in the truck and were headed out to the bank. And right at the edge of the property, turkey gobbler came out and ran alongside their truck for about, you know, 50 yards or so. So.
Now, you have to understand, Chris, that when he got home the first day, I got a 30-minute rendition of how there's no more turkeys living there anymore.
I said they move. You know, I said they move. They may not be on that little property, you know.
So. They move.
Richard in New Zealand, good morning. Save me.
Good morning to you folks.
Good morning,
Richard. Good morning, Richard.
How's life in New Zealand today?
Well, it's about 20 after 9.
Yeah.
On Saturday evening here, life is good. We're still in lockdown here as well.
Really?
Yeah.
So how bad is New Zealand affected by COVID-19?
I don't know the exact count. It's a little over 1,000.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure how many's passed away. I think it's single digits have actually passed away from it. But I have to tell you, this is the strangest thing I've ever experienced in my life.
The lockdown and all that?
Yeah, the whole thing. It's just, you know, of course, I stay abreast of what's going on in the state,
mm-hmm.
But this thing is a global shutdown.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's
from what I can read, New Zealand had 1,117 confirmed cases and 1,118 recovered, and 18 died.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
I'm not sure how that math adds up, but that's okay.
But, of course, my wife and I, I'm almost 70.
Sure.
And my wife is a couple years younger. So we, you know, when the whole thing started, we just kind of stayed in a week before it went into lockdown. They have broken it down here in four levels. Level 4 being the worst.
Right.
and we're supposed to go to a level 3 on Tuesday.
Okay.
Which is still pretty restricted, but it's, I mean, the airlines are shut down. It's just amazing.
Sure. Sure. You're right, it is. And it looks to me like whatever you're doing there is working. So, you know, keep doing it. Keep the spread of it, you know, from happening. Well, I mean, you know, with that 5 million population and you only have a...
You know, there's no boating allowed. I think at the level 3 you can fish offshore, but it's just shut down. Hmm.
This sounds a lot like the plan for Maryland. It was like in 4 stages too.
Yeah, well, it sounds a little draconian too on your. It sounds a little draconian on your end, but sorry, I stepped on you. I'm sorry. What did you say, Richard?
Yeah, I said I really don't want to go into the political end of it on your show, but it's amazing.
Oh, I will. Your prime minister's a liberal nut job.
Oh.
I mean, you know, there's no question. There's no question.
Yeah.
So you can, you know, I mean, beyond liberal, she's all the way into tank socialism, you know, that type of thing. So.
It's amazing. No, I don't know if I told you the last time I called, but when they had the weapons grab here, the last one.
Yeah, she banned all and confiscated all modern sporting rifles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I have a friend of mine. I go out on Thursday nights, and there's the dairy farmers and just some business guys that meet at his shop.
Sure.
But anyhow, to make a long story short, he's been flying the American flag ever since.
Good for him. Good for him. Good for him. Well, there's all kinds of attempts here in the country to, you know, to restrict our Second Amendment. And, you know, Virginia, the state of Virginia is one of the worst. California is one of the worst. As a matter of fact, California just had a federal judge strike down a law that was, I guess, went to referendum in 2016 where you had to register to buy ammunition. You had to have a background check to buy ammunition across the counter.
I know you have a lot of listeners.
Yep.
And a lot of people calling in, but I'm going to let you go. But just let me say this to you: this thing that's happening is a worldwide grab
for freedom, for liberty.
It is. And I don't want to go into it with you over the phone, but there is something huge going to happen out of this.
Okay. All right.
I think it's going to be at a biblical proportion, but we're all in it together. That's for sure, and that's a cliche that everybody.
Oh, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you. Richard, I mean, anybody who's read the scriptures, you know, Daniel and the book of Revelation. I mean, there's no question about it. No question about it. So
you no longer have to look for it. It's upon us. And here, to be very frank, I very seldom used a credit card all my life. And, you know, what's the other card you use where you can just get money out
debit.
Of the bank?
A debit card, yeah.
Debit card.
Yeah.
I never used a debit card in 65 years.
Right.
But here, it's almost a cashless society. And now they're saying that they don't want anyone using cash when the economy reopens.
Yes.
Because, you know,
the virus will stay on the cash. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, people need to really get awake now.
Oh yeah, no question, no question. So, well, you know, we're being forced.
I just want to let you know it's the same here.
Well, we're being forced to buy everything online. We're being forced to use a card to buy our purchases and pick things up at the, you know, on the curbside rather than go into the stores. I'm following your lead, Richard. As they say, I'm picking up what you're laying down, buddy. No question.
Yeah. Well.
Yep.
I don't like to be saying it on your show.
Why?
It's frightening.
It is. Yep. You're absolutely right.
Well, if you're ready for it, it's not frightening. But even to a child of God and a Bible believer, it's hard to get your mind around it. Although you've heard it all your life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's upon us.
Well, I appreciate you weighing in and bringing that to everybody's attention. Maybe some people will spend the weekend considering what you're saying. I hope so. You know?
It is a worldwide grab for freedom.
Yep. I agree.
It's what it is. And it's being done, and I surely don't want to go into the virus, but it's being brought about by catastrophe, and that's how they're going to work their move.
Benjamin Franklin say? Those who sacrifice their liberty for security lose both.
Yes, sir.
To paraphrase, so.
Yes, sir.
Well, Richard, I know it's late at night where you are, and I greatly appreciate you calling in from time to time. Stay in touch. Send us an email every now and then, and we'll be more than glad to discuss it.
Yep. We're listening to you, and appreciate you, folks. And take care. Stay safe.
Thank you, buddy. You too. Richard from New Zealand. Okay.
Have a good day. We have Tom.
We have Tom on the line. Let's talk to Tom. Good morning, Tom. How are you? Is it Tom?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
I thought maybe it was a turkey gobbler calling in from the woods, but apparently not. Never done a live interview with a wild turkey gobbler.
I would say something. Never mind.
It's funny. I'm sitting here thinking this is going to be off topic, but you guys led me right into it.
Good.
I'm at the grocery store the other morning, quarter after six.
Yep.
25th person in line.
Wow. Man. Wow.
So it hit me all of a sudden. This is socialism. You stand in a line to get in a grocery store that has nothing on the shelves. Government's telling you what to do, when you can do it. This is what socialism looks like. And
that's what communism looks like. Now, the only difference is, in a socialist state or communist state, the government owns the grocery store.
Yeah, this is true.
So,
by the time this is over, the government might own the grocery store.
You never know. The government's bailing everybody else out.
Yep. I don't think we've seen anything yet. I think in 2-3 years, when the state economies crash, that's when things are going to get bad. I think that's what's going to happen. When the government start to default, I think that's when things are going to get real ugly.
And then we have the central planners planning everything like they are now.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we ought to invest in some Mark Levin books and read a little bit about the Constitution, read a little bit about our liberties and that type of thing.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mark Levin's almost like a prophet.
I agree.
Well, you guys stay safe and healthy. We'll talk soon.
All right, buddy. You do the same. Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
You sound a little down this morning.
Well, this conversation on this radio show today is not exactly uplifting. Welcome to the depressing outdoorsman radio show.
It's not. But you know what? I'm not going to disagree with a caller who has a point of view that's similar to mine.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying it's just.
Well, it's also good to know that if you ever have moments where you think that you're alone, no.
You're not. You're with us.
Exactly.
That's right.
There are more people out there that have the same mindset and they're just afraid to say. And sure. to hear that we're all on the same page is kind of a welcome relief.
I agree with that. I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just saying this is just...
It's a little bit of a downer.
It's heavy.
We're trying to keep it light.
Oh, sure.
You know.
At 5:30 in the morning?
Yeah, indeed. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
Take care.
Tom, see you later.
All right, so... Theodore, Ted says a short fish is still a small fish. That's kind of like putting lipstick on a pig. I get it, a short fish. But let's get a little more creative. Let's get a little bit more creative. Robin, what do you think?
Do you know what time it is in the morning?
Huh?
Do you know what time it is?
Yeah. What time is it?
Do you know what time I got up?
No.
There's not a creative bone in my body right now.
I mean... You know, you can tie a bow in a skunk's tail, but it's still a skunk. You know, that's kind of creative. Lipstick on a pig. You get where I'm going with this?
I know where you're going. I'm drawing a blank.
You're drawing a blank. Excuse me. Well, we've got a couple sponsors that have stayed with us, and we appreciate that. And one of them is Clyde Sports Shop. Our good old faithful go-to Clyde Sports Shop. Let's go fishing. Let's just go to Clyde's, get some bait, go fishing, practice social distancing, do what you have to do, stand on the bank somewhere, and catch something to eat. Go catfishing. Let's go fish for blue catfish down on one of the Eastern Shore rivers. Loaded. They're loaded with blue catfish and channel catfish, you know, or something. So stop by Clyde's. They have live and frozen bait and minnows. And all the tackle and gear you could need, want, or imagine. Let's anticipate the reopening. Let's start to do, when we can, go get some new line on our reels. Freshen things up. When you're ready to go and the stay-at-home orders released, let's go. Get yourself a new ugly stick from Shakespeare. Get yourself a new nice Pfluger President spinning reel. Put on the St. Croix rod. You know, get the kids all re-outfitted with some kids fishing combos and get out there and do something. I'm looking forward to that day when we can do that. So, you know, it's amazing. May 1st is supposed to be the first day of the rockfish season. Clyde's is ready for that. But, you know, the charter boat captains, they're going to have all kinds of restrictions. So be ready to get your temperature taken if you're going on a fishing boat. Be ready to stand at 6 feet apart, you know, along the rail if you're going for striped bass in the trophy season. But before you do, stop by Clyde's, get a little inspiration to go fishing. Their phone number is 410-242-6108. Their address is 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway exit number 9. You can give them a call. You can stop by. Go in and say hi to the guys. Show them your support like we do. We appreciate it. And we'll be right back after this.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
This is an American Red Cross blood donation alert. We are currently facing a severe blood shortage during this coronavirus outbreak. Healthy blood and platelet donors are asked to make an appointment to give now. Donating blood is safe and can help save lives. Cancer patients, accident victims, and so many others continue to need life-saving transfusions. So please schedule your appointment now by visiting redcrossblood.org or calling 1-800-RED-CROSS. You can make a difference.
Talk Radio 680. WCBM.
How high's the water, mama? 2 feet high and rising. How high's the water, papa? She said it's 2 feet high and rising. But we can make it to the road in a homemade boat, 'cause that's the only thing we got left that'll float. It's already over all the wheat and oats. 2 feet high and rising. How high's the water, mama? 3 feet high and rising. How high's the water, papa? She said it's 3 feet high and rising. Well, the hives are gone, I lost my bees. Chickens are sleeping in the willow trees. Cows in water up past her knees. 3 feet high and rising.
We've had a little rain, haven't we, Robin?
Just a little.
Just a little.
I feel like I'm growing roots.
Growing roots. Well, yeah. I feel like I've got a little. I feel like I got a little mildew growing between my toes. Oh, that's normal, right?
What?
Oh, you're not paying attention.
I was. I was answering a caller.
A listener. A listener. Oh, okay.
I wouldn't worry about it until you start getting webbed feet.
Webbed feet. There you go. Well, I worked, you know, that Darwin thing, you know.
Exactly. We could all evolve into ducks.
Yeah. And how many thousands of years do you think, Chris?
Well, apparently we came from out of the water somehow. Who knows?
You think that's true, huh?
I think we started out as one-celled animals.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Huh, that's interesting. See, I agree with you, Joe. Sounds like Robin needs some coffee from our buddy Joe.
She does. She needs something.
Groucho Marx once said, you have to get up pretty early in the morning to get out of bed.
I'm going to stop getting up so early before the show.
Well, I will give you a lot of credit. You do get us set up here in the morning. Now, folks, if you'd see this setup, you'd just laugh, because it's not like, you know, either one of us are fully dressed, you know, sitting here in a T-shirt, and this little piece of equipment is maybe, what, 10 inches wide and 10 inches long and 8 inches wide, and it's got lights and knobs on it, and we're plugged in, and it's sitting on top of our little tiny rolling cart here with the three canvas drawers in it. And it's plugged in, and it's plugged in on the other side to the Wi-Fi. And here we are sitting on our recliner. I've got my coffee. Robin's got her water. She's got her crochet over there. She's texting with one of our listeners off the air. And
my daughter and my grandson.
And everybody else. And, you know, we're sitting here broadcasting a radio show. I mean, it has got a little, maybe too comfortable.
No.
No?
No.
If I
start snoring, then we got too comfortable.
Don't worry, though. I really don't have any future plans to drive back and forth to Baltimore from Easton like we did for a couple of years.
Oh, gosh.
I miss you, Chris.
Oh, don't worry. I'm not taking it personally. In fact, I'm glad. I mean, I wish I could see both of you over here, but at the same time, too, the last time you came up and the story that you told me on the way up here, I am glad you're down there. It's safer.
Well, that's true.
That's very true.
Because that situation, I think you were coming up Route 2, and somebody literally just walked out.
I think. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, that type of thing. Yeah, I've had close encounters very, very early in the morning, and, you know, I don't like it.
You told him you had a T-shirt on. Would you tell him you got pants on, too, please?
Why? Listen.
I'm just answering.
No shirt, no shoes, no service. Doesn't say anything about pants. Let's talk to Mike on the line. Oh, no. Wait, I'm sorry. Tom in Reisterstown first. Good morning, Tom. How you doing?
Oh, it's Mike.
It's Mike.
Well, where's Tom?
We just talked to Tom.
We did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did.
This is Mike. He's on his way to the turkey.
I got a question. Who needs coffee this morning?
Let's talk to Mike. Good morning, Mike.
Mr. Mike. Hi, this is Mike. I'm going turkey hunting, heading up to Tawnytown.
Head up to Tawnytown. Well, good. Have you been out yet?
Oh, man, I got a funny story. Last week, and I'm not an avid turkey hunter, but my buddy is. And he said, I'm going to call for you.
Okay.
So I head up there, and he always gets on me about deer hunting, because, like, we go doe hunting, and we're very successful. He says, something about you, man. we're going up there, and he's staying in my camper. It's up the farm now, and he says, hey, I want you to know something. You got a mouse in the mouse trap. I think, oh, we're killing today. It's the summer. So I hang up from him. He's at my camper already. I'm running a little late. So I'm flying down 140. I get in front of the fire out there in Gamber. It's foggy, a little bit drizzly. Deer runs out. I smoke this deer in my pickup truck. Oh, my God. So I hit it with the headlight in the neck, and I said, man, it flipped him over. It was right there. It was fast. It happened, you know. I pulled up and I said, no, I got no injuries on the ground. I guess I'm all right. I thought about it a minute. I said, that's two. All right, I'm turning around. I know, I guess I should call the state police or whatever, but I ain't trying to say I'm out here turkey hunting on a lockdown. I don't know what to do, but I said, you know what, I'm going to do a flip. I'm going to check it out, see that it's dead, you know. Roll around. Look down. I see it's expired. I said, oh, and you know what, I could get that in the back. I called my buddy, and I said, hey, I got a deer. He said, What do you think I should do? Bring it up here, we'll deal with it. Okay. So I toss it in the back of the truck, and I said, he says, there's something about you. That's two, and you ain't even here yet. I said, oh, my God. We get up there, but lo and behold, he calls turkeys. And he brought this turkey across this grass field, like doing everything that turkeys do. And I was truly amazed. I always hated to shoot the turkey. I did get a turkey, and it was a trophy turkey, and I was blown away, but it was sad that it come to an end for what he had this turkey doing. It was just amazing.
Well, you got a turkey then.
Yeah, I got a turkey. I trifecta. I got home and told my, I said, I got a trifecta, and I had a picture of the mouse, the deer, and a turkey.
Oh, jeez.
And I was like, wow, this is something, but we're headed back up there now. Matter of fact, I'm right about where I hit that.
Well, be careful, all right? Be careful, will you?
Yeah, all right, buddy. Thank you.
All right, thanks for the call.
All right, buddy. See you.
Have a good day. Well, there you go. A trifecta, a mouse, a deer, and a turkey.
That is wild.
That is wild, indeed.
No pun intended, right?
No pun intended. No pun intended. None at all. None at all. So, we're not getting a lot of play on our lipstick on a pig. So, I don't know. Think of something, Chris. Come on.
Well, if a crab had lips, could you put lipstick on the crab?
Oh, get off. Let's get off the lipstick. Maybe, how about nail polish?
Lipstick's very important.
How about nail polish on a crab?
Crabs already have nail polish if they're females.
Well, that's true. That's how you tell a female from a male, right? Right, Chris? You knew that, right, Chris?
Exactly. I'm a Marylander, so
Marylander.
Yeah.
Marylander? Yep. Yeah. Yep. I mean, a lot of people don't know when they see a picture of a crab and it's got those bright, shiny red nails, red claws. That's female.
Just like me.
That's female. Yes.
And they get those nails sandblasted.
11 hours she spent on her nails yesterday.
You're kidding.
It was not 11 hours.
I left here at 3 o'clock, and she had been on them for, I don't know, 2 hours at that point. And when I got back at about 4:30, quarter to 5, she still had an hour to go.
But then you got me the right acetone. I had did the wrong acetone, and you got me your Dremel tool, and I got them off.
You hear what she's talking about, Chris? Acetone and a Dremel tool.
Exactly. That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, that's a recipe to get the stuff off Robin's nails.
I hadn't been to the salon in, 4 weeks, 5 weeks? I'm sorry. I am so sorry I yawned like that. Oh, dear goodness. I apologize.
Now, was that a pedicure and a finger?
No, just fingers.
Oh, okay.
Just fingers. But
11
I had.
Hours?
It was not 11 hours. It was a couple hours.
4 and a half.
But I would have had them right off if I'd known I had the wrong. I know that wasn't the acetone to use, but I thought in the middle of this pandemic, I wouldn't be able to get what I want, so I'd work with what I had. And then he comes home when I find out it was right. There was some right underneath the sink.
So instead of saying, hey, Alan, I need acetone. Do you have any? 2 hours she spends chipping and cracking. I think she had the nail file.
And I had my carving tools
she
out.
she had a pen knife. And who knows? But anyway, it was an interesting process to watch.
I can imagine.
But Robin always has gorgeous nails, so I'll you know, I'll give her the pandemic self-applied nail treatment. And, you know, did you use your little ultraviolet light
mm-hmm.
thing? Did you? Good. Any callers on the line to save us?
No, fur.
No, I was talking about this law the other day where that the voters in California voted in because, you know, they registering to buy ammunition will keep us all safe and nobody will get, you know, one of those deals. But that was voted in by referendum in 2016 that you had to have your identification and register to buy ammunition in California. Of course, before the law went into effect, ammunition sales went through the roof in California. And now a federal judge has said this. A background check to get ammunition. U.S. District Judge Roger Benitez, we honor you, sir, as San Diego called the regulations onerous and convoluted, added that they violate a citizen's Second Amendment rights, according to the Associated Press through Fox News. Benitez ruled in favor of the California Rifle and Pistol Association, which asked him to halt the background checks with a preliminary injunction. Here's what he said. The experiment has been tried. The casualties have been counted. California's new ammunition background check law misfires, and the Second Amendment rights of California citizens have been gravely injured. He wrote a 120-page opinion. Now, what does that mean? This is a federal judge in California. What does that mean? That means that any other states that attempt to have you undergo a background check to buy ammunition, because that's how these things happen. That's how laws happen. Somebody throws one out there and throws it against the wall in state after state after state. Finally, some state passes it. It sets a precedent. Then other states say, oh, look, well, California passed this, you know, New York passed that, Maryland passed this. Let's take that same language in that law and put it in front of our General Assembly or our, you know, whatever body governs the state. So they pass these laws from state to state to state. And there are organizations that specialize in doing this, like Michael Bloomberg's organization. So anyway, now we have something to fight back with. We have a federal judge's 120-page opinion that blocked this law from going into effect or continuing in California. Listen to this, Chris. Criminals, tyrants, and terrorists don't do background checks. The background check experiment defies common sense while unduly and severely burdening the Second Amendment rights of every responsible gun-owning citizen desiring to lawfully buy ammunition.
Exactly.
Benitez reportedly claimed the law blocked legitimate sales to law-abiding citizens about 16% of the time. He also ruled that California's ban on importing ammo from outside the state violates federal interstate commerce laws. How about that?
Well, I mean, didn't they also try something similar with when you buy a weapon that the first shot you'd have to catch the brass? And
that was Maryland.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that was Maryland. Yeah, no question.
It's similar, just a different way of approaching the same problem.
Randy says you put eyeshadow on a crab, it's still a crab.
Okay.
All right. Eyeshadow. I like it, Randy. Thank you. What in the world are you? All right. We got Glenn on the line. Good morning, Glenn. How you doing?
Hey, Alan, Rob. How you doing?
Doing good. How are
doing
you?
Good.
Okay, I guess. Yeah, man. Let's just say we get over with. So
you and I both, buddy.
People can get back going. And like in another week of Twin Pop, just seemed like it's been a couple of days ago. Like I said before, when I talked to you.
Yeah. Well, you doing all right? Get plenty to eat, you know. You staying isolated and all that stuff. Unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to do what I have to do.
Yeah, of course, of course. You been out turkey hunting yet?
No, not yet. I'm going to go to a friend's place. He said, well, hold back a week in case he goes. And then got a hold of him even to see if he did go.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to a trip up to Western Maryland again. My buddy that I got my first one with last week, talked to him the other day. He hasn't taken a Maryland bird yet. He's tried, but he took two in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Two gobblers. I'm talking about a guy who's got an entire shelf in his sitting room dedicated to turkey calls that he's purchased or won over the years, and so from some of the top turkey call manufacturers in the country. I don't mean mass produced stuff. I mean hand done turkey calls, and you know, by people who are honored in that world, in that realm of the turkey. And he got a box. He's got a little box with a sliding lid on it. And he showed it. He opened this box and he says, and there's a box full of turkey beards. He's taken over 60 long beards in his life.
See, what y'all haven't realized, the Maryland birds are honoring Hogan's stay-at-home order.
At least they are where I hunt.
The homeowner there had a talk with him and said, you have to stay at home.
Where I hunt?
Where you hunt.
Mm, I see that. Yeah, if you see the truck in the driveway, keep your mouth shut. I think that's what they said. So, anyway, well, look, I wish you luck there, Glenn. And, you know, you can always go fishing for something to eat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, there's always got to be a pond full of bluegills or something like that. So,
can you eat bluegills?
Oh, yeah, they're good. You never ate a bluegill?
Not that I can think of.
Yeah, they're good. I mean, you get some nice size ones, you know, some hand size ones, some pan size fish. Bluegills are good. Crappies are good. White perch, your favorite, are good.
I know, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
So. When we used to go fishing, we just always caught white perch and sunfish. Remember the sunfish?
Sunfish, bluegills. Bluegills is basically a sunfish.
Oh, it's the same thing?
They're all members of the bass family.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Or bass are members of the bluegill family or something. I can't remember. Hey, Glenn, thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it.
Y'all take care and on. God bless.
You too, buddy. God bless.
We got Stan, the truck driver.
Stan, the man, the truck driver. Truck driver. Stan, the man.
You cut me off when I was saying it.
What?
Stan, the man.
Yes. Morning, Stan.
Good morning, Mr. Allen.
Are you driving?
Yeah, we're working.
Well, that's good.
We're just keeping our distance, that's all.
I lost
use of the app, I think, sometime last week. I don't know what it is, so I'm doing the best I can with what I can work with. I have seen more park rangers, forest rangers, I think they're park rangers, and
Natural Resource Police.
And DNR in the past. Oh, I guess the past week and a half that I've ever seen in my life. They're outnumbering the state police out here.
That's interesting.
Wow, that's crazy.
Oh, God bless them. Apparently, they're doing a little bit more than they keep an eye on the park. I haven't seen them stop a couple of trailers and stuff. Now, if the roads are cleared up, these people are passing me like I'm standing still. Unbelievable. I need an extra hand here to kind of balance all this stuff, like technology.
I got you.
And make the day. But I kind of miss y'all having a truck to the western side of the world. I think one of these days I would have gone to, but we don't have much work.
We're gonna make a plan. When this thing opens up, we're gonna get together with as many listeners as we can over there. What do you think of that, Robin?
I think it's great.
Yep. So.
I can only speak for you and I, but we have seen some stuff in our lifetime. But this is, to use the vernacular of my youth, this is a bummer.
A bummer is right. It's beyond a bummer.
This is a bummer.
I like the bummer. I like that.
Yeah,
I used to say that all the time.
Well, it's a bummer?
That's a bummer.
Maybe I can get a load over there and you can do my nails.
You go right ahead. I'll be glad to. I'm learning.
I already got an offer from my grandfather. my granddaughter's doing them.
Your granddaughter's going to do your nails? That's great. Yep.
No. Once I took the work boots off, it changed my mind real fast. That's all. Well, we've been working. Like I said, we've been working. They haven't given us much time.
Yeah.
And when this bus loose, when it's finally, better than it is now, it's going to be on a plane on here. I wanted to get a shout out if I could to Odell, who's probably out there listening like I do all the time. Good morning, Brock Charter.
There you go.
He'll be coming up soon.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I'll
listen. All right, buddy. Take care.
Y'all stay safe.
You too.
All right. We'll talk to you. Hopefully.
Hey.
That's right. I look forward to meeting you, Stan.
Keep the greasy side down, man.
We're trying like that, Mr. Allen. Y'all take care now.
You got it. Take care, buddy.
We're going to go to the news before we do the other.
We probably are. Man, this hour went fast. So
for you.
We got Bruce in Baltimore City and Odell on the line, so everybody's going to hold, and we appreciate it. So look at that. That's very interesting. Son-in-law just sent us a picture. He was out, apparently, found some wild coffee beans in the woods. Did you see that?
Not yet, I haven't.
Oh, well, you go ahead and take a look at that. Chris, have you ever seen those wild coffee beans in the woods?
No,
yeah, I
want
to dare him to eat it.
Huh?
No,
well, when you're walking through the woods and you look down and there's a little pile of what looks like raisinettes there on the ground, those are wild coffee beans.
Okay.
Yeah. Bring them back and put them in the machine. Make sure you use a good filter.
Definitely.
See how that?
It's got a real earthy taste to it. It's
very earthy. Yeah. Yes. Very, and it has a hint of grain.
Yes.
As well, what are the hints of agricultural crops?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it is definitely organic, no question.
No question about that. Exactly. And it's already been through the process. So
the North American version versus, I think, the Jamaican version.
Exactly.
They use monkeys down there.
Monkeys? Really?
I think it's monkeys.
What's the one that's a wild cat?
Or maybe that's, I know that in one country with the beans, and it's very expensive, it does use an animal.
Yeah,
process.
Wonderful. Well,
when we get back, we need to talk about our new endeavor.
Oh, we will.
We just sold a hat.
We did.
Yep, and it'll make that listener's 100th hat.
Double what?
It'll make his 100th hat.
100th hat. No mm-hmm. kidding.
We'll tell you about it when we get back.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, folks. There's the music coming to a close. You going to say it?
Stay home, stay safe, stay strong, and stay hopeful.